And is that on the screen?
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Good.
Matthew 13.
Yes.
Verse 8.
Thank you. Woo. Verse 8.
Morning.
Okay, so we talked last week about this different soil stuff. And Roger really pretty much took us through the entire lesson. But we're going to hit some of those key points, and that's okay. Because I don't think you can overemphasize this. So just some takeaways from last week. You got three types of soil. You got the hard-headed soil. Okay. You got the soil with the stones in it. I want you to keep something in mind. The stones were already in that soil. Got it? The stones were already in that soil. And then we've got the thorny soil. Okay? And one of the things that I saw, and Roger brought this out a little bit, and I want to bring it out again because I want us thinking about this as we go. We those of us who've been doing this for a while, we know this parable. We know the natural. Jesus preaches in parables here for several reasons. One, you're taking something in the natural and you're comparing it side by side, and you get a spiritual application, or you understand how the kingdom operates. All right? Also, it's not offensive. It's a parable. Jesus could have very well just told them, all right, hey, you know what? You guys are going to hell. He could be point blank. Well, you know, if you do that, then somebody's going to be defensive and they're not going to receive the word. This way, you give them a parable and then they can kind of see it in the natural and then figure out where they are.
And that was not his character to be that way either.
Well, he had those moments where he beat him out of the temple, but, you know, but yeah, you know, it's the time to pick up your whip, and it's the time that you got to be nice.
There was times in the Old Testament when they did that, too. I think of Nathan going to David.
That's a wonderful parable. What happens if Nathan goes to David and says, hey, you're an adulterer, you're a fornicator, and you're a murderer? That's it for Nathan. Yeah. But he gave him a parable and a story, and when David saw himself in that parable, it helped him to repent. So, we're doing the same thing. We left off at the good ground. So, I've got my notes up. We'll talk about this. As we go through Matthew 13, we're also going through Mark chapter 4, because there are both accounts there. They are very similar, but there's a small nuance on some of this. So, let's see how far we go with this key parable. Alright, Matthew chapter 13 verse 8. But other fell onto good ground and brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus telling this parable, now he gives you the fourth soil, which is the good soil. And he's like, you might want to try to listen and get this. Alright, so it's important. That's why we're looking at this as the first parable. In Mark's account, it says, and other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears, let him hear. So pretty much the same account. There's an increase there. So I got some things highlighted in the notes or whatever. The seeds that are planted in the right soil produce what's expected. I mean, anybody ever plant something? Do you really expect it to just not happen? I mean, you plant with the expectation that something's going to come up, right? Good. Now, if you plant a seed, are you expecting a seed to come back up?
No.
No.
You're expecting the seed that you buried to come up different, new, changed, all right? And then from that fruit, you get more seed. And then what do you do with that seed?
You replant.
Ooh, there you go. And that kind of goes back to what Roger said, because we should be sowers of the new seed that comes out of our experience as God makes us fruitful.
You know, I correlate the end of all of this to the seed
Yes.
And then how it can at one point become a beautiful thing.
Yes.
Like you and I, with a seed planted with God, He expects us to be beautiful for Him.
Yes, yes. But think in the natural how awesome that is. Our God, as flawed as we are, wants to invest in us, and His expectation for us, I don't care how jacked up you are, His expectation for us is that He wants to produce fruit for the kingdom. That is awesome. I mean, I do prison ministry, so I'm telling these guys each morning, every Sunday morning, I'm like, hey, God wants to use you. And I'm like, yeah, right. Yeah. No, He really does. Your future looks bright. And so, I think this is so awesome that regardless of all the mistakes I might have made in my life, guess what? He still wants to use me. And I know He wants to use everybody here. Guess what? Because you're getting seed. And He's expecting a return on what He is spreading out. All right? But we got to figure out how to get in that. So, and one of the things we talked about last week is, what is the soil? What's the ground? And we talked about that. I want to make sure we understand that again. What's the ground? And it's not the little blood pumper.
It's our spirit. It's
right here. It's whether the spirit has control of this. Right here is the ground. All right, so I noticed that there are varying degrees of success. So talk to me. Tell me what you noticed about this. Before I just kind of show you my notes or whatever. Well, I guess I'll show you my notes or whatever. But everybody planted in this ground produces. It's all good. It's just varying degrees of good. Can you fail in the good ground?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Don't use your logic. Look at the word.
It says varying degrees of success. I think it's to just to encourage people that it's not going to be, everything's going to be perfect.
But it's going
to
be good.
He's telling us to expect different degrees of success, which means it's not all going to be the same.
It's not all going to be the same.
But still success.
But it's still success. Woo! Roger, you got to teach this. That's it. Everybody in this ground is a success. That's not Chuck saying that. That's what the word says. Therein, but I like your answer, because therein lies the problem. Christians can sometimes think they're in good ground, and yet they can be failing, all right? And then you got to go back and figure out, am I failing in good ground because I'm going through a tough time that's going to allow me to produce, or have I moved to the wrong ground?
Well, I think you got to go back to verse 7 for part of that.
Okay.
If you're hanging out with the wrong crowd... Verse 7, I'll read. It says,
Thorns.
Fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked him out.
Right. So here's what I'm seeing in this parable. Your mind can be in different soils. Alright? And just because you had a moment or a season where you were in good soil, does that mean you automatically wake up the next day and your mind is still in the good soil? So what the parable is going to start to show us is you can make sure, or you can check to make sure that every decision I'm getting ready to make, everything I'm getting ready to do in my day, that I'm planted in the good soil. Because I cannot fail, and I will always have success in that good soil. There'll just be varying degrees of success. Should I be concerned if Roger has 60-fold and I only have 30-fold?
Not really. Should look at the success and be joyful in that.
Oh, but what happens if Roger gets 60-fold and I only get 30-fold and Roger's a student, I'm the teacher or whatever, I'm like, Roger got 60-fold, I only got 30-fold. I need to step up my game a little bit. And where's my focus at?
Well,
No, I'm not focusing on myself. I'm focusing on Roger.
You said your game.
You said your game.
Oh.
You're in the thorns.
And I heard somebody say I'm in the wrong soil. But if you told me, Chuck, I know you're teaching and all, but you're in the wrong soil. You got the wrong attitude. You're looking at this the wrong way. And I go back, how are you going to tell me this is about the Lord? I'm a Bible study teacher. What are you talking about? Now what soil am I in?
Now you're
digging.
You're off the chalk.
So I'm back. I'm the hard-headed guy.
Yeah.
In my self-righteousness, I'm like, I can't humble myself because I got to be right. I can't be wrong. Can you see how I can have an understanding of the Word of God and wind up in the wrong soil and start making bad decisions and God is not, and I don't produce the fruit because my mind has shifted, but I still think I'm in good ground? That is the worst place for Christians to be. Well, I'll get to it as I go through.
Your heart got hard, but you're in rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
So where's my mind? What soil?
Hard.
Now, do you know you're going to have a fight if you go tell a Christian, all right, preacher, teacher, whatever, you're hard-headed. You're in the soil on the wayside. You think they're going to say, ooh, thank you, brother. I'm glad you shared that with me.
You need to go back to step number one.
They need to go back to step number one. Yeah, they need to go back to step number one. Yeah, but now that I know that, I need to take them to step number one. And how do I do that? Perhaps I ask a question. Perhaps I use a parable so that they're not offended, so they can see the error of their ways and be brought back into the right soil.
Let's God pray first.
Got to follow the steps. All right. You don't have to raise your hand, but anybody ever been in that situation where, you know you're rolling with the Lord or whatever, but then all of a sudden you find out you're in the wrong soil? Mm-hmm. Can't tell you nothing?
You didn't have to raise your hand. You didn't have to close yourself. It's called confession.
All right. There you go. All right.
I had never really thought about the verse. He who has ears, let him hear. Same thing he says to the churches in Revelation.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. He who has ears. So he is speaking to us, and he really wants us to pay attention to look at our hearts, examine our hearts, because that's what he wanted the churches in Revelation to do.
Yeah.
Examine yourself, see what you're doing good, and see where you need to look.
How does he approach the churches in Revelation? Just a second.
Pretty direct.
Yeah, but he always opens up with
what you're doing good. He softens their hearts.
Why does he soften their heart?
So they can receive the direction.
Because if you go off and you just say, hey, let me tell you about yourself.
You don't throw a seed down the ground.
Yeah, it's going to be on the ground. You have to soften it up. Yeah. So how come sometimes when we talk to somebody, hey, let me tell you about yourself, you think they're going to receive that?
No.
Just follow the word. Because we're doing it, we know, because we already have the answer through the word and through the spirit. Now we got to figure out, how can I put that seed on soil that is broken up so that they'll receive it and understand it? All right? Okay. I want you to pause for a minute. Let's look at the story. Characteristics of good soil. Three characteristics that I highlighted. One, it ain't hard. Two, stones have been removed. Three, it's not competing with weeds and thorns. We'll get in more detail on this in a bit. Because there's some characteristics on good soil. I have to be able to understand when my mind is in good soil and when it's not. So I can make sure that I replant my mind in the good stuff. Got it? Okay. All right. Forget all that other stuff about 50% of the soil is bad and good or whatever. There is one thing that I want you to understand. For instance, I was teaching at the prison today, which is why I got here a little late. And then I had a class full of folk. Just a lot of guys coming out to hear the word. It's wonderful. And I'm giving some little funny stories and examples, to go through the word or whatever. And one older gentleman got up early before I could really get into the depth of the scripture, and he left. That's the second Sunday in a row that he's kind of got up in the middle of it. What do you think is the first thing that hit my mind?
Where his heart was. Yeah. What else?
Well, if the teacher, somebody gets up and walks out, my first thought's going to be, what did I say wrong? What did I do wrong?
Exactly.
Did I offend him? I didn't mean to offend him. You know, why did he get up and leave? Maybe
absolutely.
And especially the second week in a row. But you've got to trust God that you were doing exactly what God told you to do, when he told you to do it, how he told you to do it. And
I don't know. He could have irritable bowel syndrome. I don't know. I don't know.
But it could be any of the things, even though he keeps.
Well, 2 weeks in a row.
That's what I'm
saying. And before he was staying until the end, so I'm sitting here, I'm evaluating. I'm going, did I do something wrong? Did I tell too many stories before I got into the Word? Do I need to go to the Word first? You know.
Well, Chuck, another thing that may be going on is the man is beginning to grasp the thing that balances.
Yeah.
I had guys in the military like that.
Yeah. Could be. I don't know. But it started to bother me. What should I do? What ground am I in? Where am I?
You're over amongst the thorns and the...
Mm-hmm. Hey, wait a minute. I went out there on good ground. It sold good seed.
Mm-hmm. You did.
I did.
I know. But they're not necessarily in good ground. They might be in the thorns still.
Are you trying to say that even though I went out there and I was in good ground, the response of the world to my sacrifice and what I'm trying to do has now caused me to be moved from the good ground to some other ground? So I want you to know this. When I'm in good ground, some folk will get it. Some folk won't. But don't let that deter you from throwing your seed. Because the parable is telling you there's going to be some people that may or may not get it. You just make sure that you're in good ground so that, because the sower, who is Christ, God in this, throwing this seed out, he even knows that some people are not going to get this. But it doesn't stop him from throwing the seed out. Because when it's good seed, somebody's going to get it.
Right. And then it's up to him to cultivate that seed.
Nurturing and it is a big thing. You don't.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm just kind of sharing that. I mean, you can get thrown off just that quick. All right? Don't be yourself.
Our feelings can be hurt or whatever when we're the ones sitting up there in that chair like you, and we don't get the response we think we're supposed to be getting.
Absolutely. And that's why Al is good for me, because I don't care what Al says. Well, I need to wake Al up. All right, Matthew, verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? We've already gone through this. Verse 11, and he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. So he's speaking to them in parables in such a way to let them know, is, hey, this is like a puzzle. If you're in the puzzles, then you'll get this and there's a reward. But if you ain't into the puzzle, you just won't get it. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Now, I know it looks like you're reading Shakespeare here, but bottom line is, I talk to them in parables because they're not ready to understand me hitting them in the face with the real condition. So the parable allows them to see if they want to see.
Right. You know what comes to me, too, is like when you hear a story, even though you don't get the full-on meaning of the story, later on down the road you remember the story when something else comes up. So it makes it easier for them to remember and apply it later.
Yes.
If it's told as a story.
Yes. In fact, that's what I wanted us to do as a class, is to look at this and go, okay, so in the natural, what does that look like today? What does this story look like today in the natural? When we go through, and we're going to go through some of this growing stuff, the natural stuff, to understand what does that look like in the spiritual realm. Oh, this is good stuff. It's good stuff. All right. Verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Elijah. All right, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and you shall see and shall not perceive. So we already know some people are not going to get it. Don't be discouraged. Just make sure your seed is still good. Somebody's going to get it. All right. For this people's heart, my, is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, because you've got to be humble to receive it. All right. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart. Oh, key word here. And should be converted and I should heal them. So, he's talking to a particular group of people who don't see it because they're in that hard-headed, you know, wayside soil. The seed can't get in there. But if they ever get this, and if this word ever gets down in their heart, they can be converted. Which means you can move from hard-headed to soft-hearted. You can move from bad soil and be converted to good soil. But there's a process, and we need to understand the process for doing that. And Tony was here last week, but our other couple was not. And Tony should know by now that if I want to know the steps to figure out how I can be converted, I can go and look at that back wall back there and go through steps 1 through 4, and that puts me in the good soil. All right? So that's good news. We can be converted. When we find out that we're in bad soil, we can be converted and replanted and put in the place where we're going to produce. In the dome, in your mind. Okay. Now, verse 16. Here's the good news. You're going to have some hard-headed folk, but you're going to have some people like this. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily, or truly, I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Got it? Now, Mark is a little different. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. Pretty much the same thing, except there's a little couple of differences here. And he said, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. So through the parable, we understand what? The mystery of the kingdom of God. Okay. But unto them that are without, or outside of this, all these things are done in parables. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. Listen, any time they should be converted, and their sins shall be forgiven them. Ah, but here's the difference. And he said unto him, know ye not this parable? How then will ye know all parables? Talk to me. What did he just say?
He said, if you don't get this, you're not going to get the rest of it.
Boom! So, you know I love the Old Testament, and for the last, 2 years or so, we just been in the Old Testament. I know it's been weary, but you've hung in there with us. So now all of a sudden, we're in the New Testament. You know, I never teach out of the New Testament, but now we're in the New Testament. I'm like, we're going to do the parables. I had a friend that did the parables. We're going to do the parables because I've never done a complete teaching of the parables, but obviously if Jesus used them, we ought to know something about it, so we're going to teach the parables. So guess how I was going to approach this? And Earl gave you the list or whatever. We're going to start in Matthew, and we're going to go from the first parable and chapter 5, and we're just going to go all the way down through the list until we get, why are you shaking your head? We're going to go all the way down. That's the plan. Isn't that logical?
Well, Jesus did it.
Okay.
It's good enough for him. It's good enough for us.
Yeah. So it's logical that we can follow this, right? And then all of a sudden, a friend of mine, who I know had taught the parables before, said, Chuck, you might not want to go in the exact order of the scriptures. You might want to do the parable of the sower and the seed first. And I'm like, I already got this thing planned out, dude. It's been years since you taught this. I'm the new blood. He says, why don't you just take a look at Mark chapter 4, verse 13 and you know, see what you think. And I'm like, I read it, I'm like, oh, well, maybe before I go through my list, maybe I should do this parable first. Because Jesus says, you're going to have a better understanding of all the other parables that you want to go once you get this down. If you don't get this one down, you might not get the rest of them. Now, what do I have to do to change my plan?
Humble yourself.
Yes. Then what do I have to do?
Be
got to turn and go to the right
direction. I got to repent. And I, you mean to tell me I got my plan, which was led by the Spirit, and my plan has to change?
Mm-hmm. Pray and repent.
And then what's next?
Change your mind.
I change my mind, and then I put my hope in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then I'm led by the Spirit. You know, just because somebody said it, that doesn't mean it's Spirit. So that's why we're doing what we're doing now, because I want to make sure we're on good ground. Now, as soon as we get through this, guess what we're doing? We're going back to work.
Plus, you listen to wise counsel, too.
All right. I got to be in good ground. All right. So that's what he says. That's why we're doing this parable. All right. Also, he's confirming that this story is about a natural occurrence that reveals a deeper understanding of the kingdom of God. I don't understand all this stuff, but this is going to help me because it's going to take a natural example. And this just opened up to me as I started looking at, I'm a city boy, but I got some experience farming because my mom is from Mississippi, and, you know, she's got flower gardens, and she had rock gardens, and she had, you know, vegetable gardens. And the kid used to, we didn't have no roto thing, whatever.
Roto-killer.
No, we ain't had that. If we did, we didn't have the money to get it. We had old Chuck with a pick. Busting up, side busting or whatever. All right. I love Dan Guzik, David Guzik. I love it. He has a comment here that I use. He says that he used parables so that the hearts of those rejecting would not be hardened further. Mm-hmm. All right. I like this one thing, the whole conversion thing. I talked about that. You can experience success even if you started out in the wrong soil. Isn't that nice? Even if you rejected the word of God before, you can be converted and get into the right soil. Even if you had a bad start, bad decision, you can be converted, get into the right soil. And God will bless you with increase and success. Success is in your future when you're lined up correctly with God. He has to bless you and make you successful because he gets glory from that. Which means he has to bless you on purpose. When you're lined up with him, because he gets glory from that. And that's the testimony that plants seeds in somebody else that says, oh man, if he did it for you, maybe he'll do it for me.
So just so when God is sowing the seed of the gospel, it goes out and just cut the cut. And if there is hardness or there is too many rocks, a lot of past sin or current sin, or there is things coming and snatching it away, that mean that he won't come back and sow again or send somebody else to sow again. The Holy Spirit can just come to somebody and sow the seed or whatever. So his mercy endures forever.
I keep slinging seed. I just keep slinging seed. Dude gets up, walks out. I just check myself to make sure I was okay, and I just keep slinging seed. I hope he comes back tomorrow, next week. I just keep slinging seed.
I think it's very, very important, to pray for the soul of the heart.
You want to pray that they have a divine appointment, that the soil is broken up, that they receive the word.
Ezekiel 36:26.
What's that say?
I will remove the hard heart. I will remove the stone cold heart of sin and give them a new heart. That is tender and fleshy and able to receive the truth. Because we sometimes keep throwing out seed, however that may be that we're doing it, but it just keeps bouncing off and we're like frustrated and we don't understand, but they can't receive it.
Hard-headed rascal?
They can't hear.
Yeah, I know.
Because God is a God who prepares.
And
always.
We will see as we get further into this what that means and how we can help prepare. And, you know, loving the Old Testament, that's what it meant by the circumcised heart, the hardness of a heart. But it also, in the natural, talks about break up the fallow ground.
I mean, just to bring it on down, even just in relationships.
Bring it on down.
Jimmy and I have to, we've recently been working on this more and more in our marriage. I mean, yeah, we've been married 40 years, but we got a lot. You know, you always have stuff to work on.
You guys look good for 40 years.
I got married when I was 13.
You know, let me stay in good ground because I really want to go there. Go ahead.
But Jimmy, we've been learning, you know, we need to kind of like, if we need to talk to each other about things.
Right.
We need to plant some seeds about ideas or thoughts or concerns.
Right.
That we need to try to make sure our hearts are ready to hear it.
Ooh, yeah.
So, you know, just bring it on down even to your relationships and stuff. Like, if I approach Jimmy when he's hungry, or he's like very, you know, in the morning if he's work-driven, and that's all that's on his mind, and I try to talk to him about one of the kids or something we need to do or whatever, he just looks at me like a deer in headlights.
Yeah.
Or gets frustrated, right? Or if I ask him, call him on the phone during the work day and ask him to come home and set up something for one of the grandchildren is coming in the middle of a work day, that he might be impatient or frustrated. Not to say that he did that.
Well, you got to recognize what soil the person is in.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. You got to recognize the soil. And that's with unbelievers, too.
Absolutely.
If we just keep on doing it the same way and doing it the same way.
Expecting different results.
And their hearts hadn't changed.
And prayer is
one of the ways that we can see God soften their heart.
Yes, and sometimes they don't even want to see you coming.
And asking them for forgiveness if there's been unforgiveness.
Yep.
I just think that's really risen up with me, that is a hindrance.
It's all about soil management.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But see, it's easy for me to get tangled up in the weeds, work, and all this kind of stuff.
And you know, because literally, that's what you deal with.
That's what you do, the weeds.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, stay tangled up.
You might want to explain to our...
They know.
Okay, you got it. You know, in fact, there's this grass that pops up in my yard or whatever.
Not grass.
No, it ain't nut. It ain't nut because I can pull this up. I can't get to that nut down there.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. All right. So I almost wanted to bring some in so you can analyze it. But yet, I digress. Anyway, let me.
That brings up another example that came in my mind because we do deal with weeds so much.
Yep.
That weeds will come up that certain weed killers don't kill. So we have to get a specific product to apply. To go down into the soil and kill the root.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have something specific for that weed, it'll just keep coming up. Even if you're applying another weed killer.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that because I got something to come. And you know what? I wouldn't even care about the weed coming up or the stupid grass. Except, here you go. The stupid grass grows faster than the good grass.
Yes.
Amen.
I mean, I get my grass cut one day, right? And 2 days later, here comes stupid grass. Yeah, that's right, Juanita. And I wouldn't even care so much about that, but the stupid grass is a different color than the regular grass. And so now my yard looks jacked up. Anyway, let me get back to the word before somebody walk out. Anyway. All right. Oh, I wanted to point this out. Those who hear and understand this parable are blessed.
Mm.
Jesus said that.
Mm.
Don't you want to get blessed?
Amen.
Before you even produce something, as long as you can hear and understand this, you are blessed. Wow. He's pleased with us. If we can just hear and understand. Because if we do that, he does the rest. All right. Matthew 18. He's breaking it down. Let's break it down. We got a few more minutes to break it down. All right. Verse 19. When anyone, now he's making that comparison between the natural and the spiritual. And we're going to dig down even deeper than that. All right. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom. I highlighted some things here too, just so you understand. You might want to highlight this in your Bibles as well. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not. So, I used to always look at this soil as this is just hard-headed because it's hard soil and they just don't get it. It ain't sinking in. But it's not just that. It's they heard it, they don't get it. They don't understand it. Which is why when we teach, we're not on a schedule, because we need to make sure that we get it and understand it. I have read the Bible all the way through. Pat me on the back. That's something. I've read the entire Bible. When I read the entire Bible, I can't tell you too much of what I read. How can I read the entire Bible and not have a good understanding of the Bible? Well, you got to go back to my motivation for why I read the entire Bible. Do you know the first time I read the entire Bible, why I read the entire Bible?
So you could say you did it.
And I had my reward. Yep.
You just read it. That's all.
That's all. Yeah, I read it.
Yeah. That's all, Chuck. You just read it.
Okay, we got that. All right. I just want to pat myself on the back. Wrong spirit itself. Wrong soil produced nothing but pride. Okay. They understand it not. Then comes the wicked one and catches it away, that which was sown in his heart, and that is he which received the seed by the wayside. It is important that people get an understanding of the word, or the enemy will take it from them before they can apply it. And
isn't that the birds in this stuff?
Oh, that's the birds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The wicked one.
Yeah, the wicked one. Yeah. Anybody ever try to plant grass? And you throw the seed out there? Man, the birds are on that grass seed like a rat on a Cheeto. You know. That's why you got to throw more of it out there so they can get full. Maybe leave some so that, you know. You just get you some turf.
A lot of times they cover it up, throw the seed up so the bird can't get to it, too.
Absolutely. That's spiritual. Mm-hmm. Oh, but you know why? But you know, some people are too lazy to dig it up. They just sit there, they just throw it out there, just kind of hope. Verse 20. But he that received the seed in stony places, the same as he that hears the word, and anon with joy they receive it. There's the amen corner. Not all amen corners, just, you know. Yeah. Because some amen corners are in good soil. Amen. But he hath not root in himself. But he can last for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended, so it can't last. All right?
So, Chuck, the soil is our heart, right? So, see, you got to get it in the heart.
Yes. The heart, the mind. Yes.
To come about.
Yes. Well, let me ask you. Anybody ever had that mind where you heard something really good? You heard some good word? Like Isaiah 26:3, he'll give us perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because we trust in him. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it's a good word. You start praising God. Hey, I got peace. Then all of a sudden, something happens. You get hot out there, and your peace goes out the window, and you're trying to figure out how to get it back, and you realize, I don't want to trust this word. I need to do things my own way. Well, you die. You don't make it. You don't have success in that thing. All right? Been there. Got to make sure I don't do it again. All right? Christians in Afghanistan, we'll get into what that might look like today in just a minute here when I go through my notes or whatever. I think we got time to do that. All right. Verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the cares of this world and deceitfulness of sin chokes the word. Oh, key word here, I highlighted this. And he becometh unfruitful. Which means, at one time, see, this is where the parable kind of messed me up. Because I thought, and I think there's two ways to look at this. You could be in this mindset right now and get the word and have some, you know, and then the cares kind of come up. So you start out in that soil. All right. But I'm kind of thinking for me, it works like this. And I'm just talking about Chuck. I start out in the good soil. And I'm producing fruit and success in the kingdom. And the thorns come up, the weeds come up during my growing season. And then all of a sudden, I'm moved from the good soil to this soil, and I don't know it. I think it can happen either way. For me, it's more the latter. When you, now I know this from experience. My mom would have me bust up the sod. And after I bust up the sod, she said, get all the stones out. I'm like, what, the stones? Why get all the stones and rocks out? It ain't, you know, get all the rocks out. There's a rock over there. You know, she'd come out and police it, make sure I get all the rocks out. You know, so after I bust it up with the pick or whatever, I got to get the hoe and rake all the rocks out and get all the rocks out. And then there'd be like little bits of grass and stuff like that, some roots from here and that. I got to get all of that out. I'm like, oh my God, I got to get all that out. And then afterwards, you know, you look kind of, it looks kind of nice, you know. Yeah. And then she starts planting. And I'm thinking, whew, work is done.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, then some other stuff starts coming up with the flowers and with the plants. Weeds that I did not see. Or maybe those birds that ate the seed go in there and they poop in my good ground and then a weed comes up out of that.
Yeah.
And so mom made me go back out and said, you know, your weed pulling days ain't over.
Never.
So, again, sometimes in the New Testament you'll hear Christ say, watch. What am I watching for? Watch for the weeds.
Mark 4:19 says, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word. And
amen.
Which means, and this is why this soil is so dangerous, because in order to be fruitful, we already know that one, that generates success. You must have been in good soil at some place in time because you produced fruit, which means you must have had an understanding. And some of those rocks must have been removed. But somehow along the way, you become unfruitful. And if you tell us
that's just like us, Chuck, sometimes our hearts...
This has got nothing to do with us.
Our hearts are callous. You know, stony hearts.
We have to guard our heart to make sure that it doesn't become so hard that we wind up in another soil and then don't realize. You know what scares me? And not, it's not a salvation thing. Maybe it's a reward thing. What scares me is that whole sheep-goat thing where Jesus comes back and says, you know, hey, up out of here. And the response is, oh, wait a minute now. We did this in your name? And we did this in your name. Bottom line is, we produce fruit in your name. And he comes back, don't know you.
Chuck.
Yes, sir.
It's sometimes, you know, I think too, it's something that it's a consistent thing. We have to work on it all the time.
Gotta work on your yard. Mom had me working on your yard, bro. I'll tell you.
Yeah, well, I mean, for example, when we built this house, and I called Jimmy, and he came and gave me an estimate, and my yard was just like jacked up.
Yeah, I saw your yard. It was.
And it took time. He kept saying, you know, he said, oh, you know, so you know, I had to be patient because I was very frustrated. He was putting his applications down and I wasn't getting any results, and I started thinking in my mind, what the heck is he putting down here? It ain't killing me weeds out. I ain't say nothing to him, but I was saying that to myself. And then eventually, you know, I started to see a difference. And like now, it's been about 2 years, but the grass has come out, and it looks a whole lot better, you know, but it took time in order for that to take place.
The soil had to literally be changed.
Oh, get out of here. All right, well... Well, that could be a testimonial information or whatever for informational or whatever, you know. But you're absolutely right, Ken. And you know what? Take that natural example and put it in the spiritual realm, and then you get to understand a little bit why we need to be very careful as Christians and wait on Him. When you've done everything you need to do to be planted in the right soil, He has to generate the fruit.
Right. Amen. And you know, somebody may say, "Well, I am coming to church. Well, I am reading my Bible.
That's
I
good.
Am, but are you doing? You know, are you? You know, are you praying about it? Or you know, maybe it takes. That's why I say you got to put down what's needed.
And we're going to figure out, it might not be this week, but we're going to figure out in the natural what we need to put down and compare that to the spiritual so that we know that we're in good ground. Okay, here we go. All right, but he that received the seed on good ground, oh, characteristics, check this out. He that received the seed on good ground is he that, one, hears the word. Because faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing from the seed, the word of God. And, it doesn't end there, they understandeth it. Because you get the seed, you don't understand it, and it ain't doing you much good. Which also beareth fruit, which is God's part. We just have to hear, understand, apply, watch Him work. And bring it forth some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. But that's the secret of success.
Mm-hmm. Chuck, his audience would have understood that yield is not possible.
Yeah, okay.
Like a good crop yield is not going to be 30-fold.
Okay.
Or 60 or 100.
Okay.
So it's something, like it's not possible for us to stay in the good soil if we're not focusing on what Christ has for us day in and day out. But the results are up to Him too.
Yes.
He can't achieve a 30, 60, 100.
He has to do it.
He has to do it.
But I've got to be planted in the place of blessing so that He'll do it. If I plant in good soil, and kind of like what Ken said, and I'm waiting for results, good grass or whatever, and it doesn't happen. Whew, thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you. Instead of being patient, what do I have the tendency to do sometimes?
Take control.
Well, yes, I can give up. Which
puts,
wait. I can mess up. Hold on. Ooh, this is good.
I got a better idea.
Try to do it yourself.
So I can be in good soil and patiently waiting for God to move to give me my 30, 60, 90. And it don't happen when I want it to happen. So I might just say, I just wasted my time, give up. What soil is that in? The one that doesn't last. Stones.
Stony.
Abraham wound up in stony ground. He leaves Haran, following the Holy Spirit, or God, all right, in good ground. Gets to Egypt, gets scared and says, "And my wife is my sister." Does it a couple times on his faith journey until the last time he finally confesses when the king calls him out. I said, "Why'd you do this?" "Well, you know, ever since I left Haran, you know, I had this plan or whatever, you know, that she was going to be my sister, whether my wife." And when he confessed that, finally, what they were waiting for showed up. Because he had this plan that he never got out of his soil, that he would always revert back to and take things into and just. The other soil is, well, I think I just described it. His wife, Sarah. Yeah, we're waiting. But God might need some help. She didn't stay in the good ground.
Waiting's hard.
Waiting's hard. Waiting is hard. Waiting becomes easier when every day I go out and I check. And I'm like, it ain't where I wanted to be, but I see a little bit of a difference. My best is on the way. My 60, my 30, and my 90 is on the way. Because God will always give you just a little bit to get you excited. Don't get impatient.
So then sometimes you just got to not keep going. I mean, like that scripture that says the farmer
He plants.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just got to, wait by faith. I mean, you just got to, you got to be seeing by. I mean, but I give up all the time. I mean, I'm definitely guilty of having to remember what God has planted. Because sometimes we don't get to see anything.
Right.
Sometimes we lower our expectations.
That's why you got to know that God, and he said it, that's why you got to know that God is the one that's going to give you the, produce the results. You just got to get in the good ground. He has to produce it. You know why he has to produce it? Because it's like super growth. He's a, and if we produce it, you know, then all of a sudden you're going to be like Cain, who was a farmer and brought the produce. And God was like, this is nice, but, you know, because he wanted to show off, look at what I was able to do. Rather than giving glory to God and being obedient and saying, this is how I got blessed. There's nothing new under the sun. The same thing that Christ is teaching about is the same thing that we deal with today. How many Christians probably need to hear this message like this?
All of us need to be reminded.
And how often do we need to check our soil and see where we are? I wish somebody had put this
together.
And that's why Christ says, pick up your cross daily. Yeah, every moment. Because things will happen that will cause you to be transplanted from the good soil to, because it's right up in here.
Because out of it flows the issues of life.
Thank you. All right. 10:34. Where's a good stopping off place? Let me just go through the breakdown and then we'll leave. Al, we're stopping at verse 23.
All right.
The wayside, when you lack understanding, just going through my highlights, when you lack understanding of the word that you heard, it's not going to do you much good if it's just sitting and you don't apply it. Because the birds or whatever, they'll take it away or whatever. So if you get an understanding. Get an understanding. All right. Two, stony places. You just ain't that deep. You get early success, but you're just not that deep. What does that look like today? I already told you about Isaiah 26 and 3 or whatever. But how do you develop a good root system? Step four, the Holy Spirit is in there kind of babbling now. But I like what Spurgeon says. He says, some professing Christians have no root in themselves. Their root is in their parents or in their Christian friends or in their pastor or in the enthusiastic surroundings. Then there are many more whose religion must be sustained by enthusiastic surroundings. But unless the temperature around them is kept up to that point, they wither away. And they die when the excitement is over. That's from Charles Spurgeon. All right. Thorns represent the people that hear the word, they produce fruit, but they start focusing on the world and riches that become unfruitful. And again, this is a very dangerous place for Christians, in my opinion. And we'll talk about this next week. What are some of the things in the world which cause the word to be choked out in believers and cause them to be unfruitful? So next week we're going to talk about a deeper application of today, and we're going to get into replanting and things like that or whatever. I Googled something. This is just for thought as we get ready to close. Mom had me break up the soil. Then she had me pull out all the stones and then pull out all the weeds. Then she would plant the seed. But then she would mix something. That's not. But then she would mix some other stuff in. Fertilizer. Put fertilizer in the soil. All right. Jimmy?
Nurture. I'll listen.
What is fertilizer?
It's nutrients. You got to nurture it.
What is fertilizer made of?
Different nutrients.
Nitrogen.
Nitrogen? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, back in the
day. Maybe chicken waste.
Oh, waste.
Yeah.
So, good fertilizer is poo-poo.
Yes.
Or dead stuff.
That's right.
And it stinks. Uh-oh. And it stinks. Praise God. If in the natural, and what does the fertilizer do? It facilitates
growth.
That's in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
In the spiritual, what's fertilizer? The word is the seed. It is not fertilizer.
This class is the fertilizer.
The Holy Spirit.
Class could be the fertilizer. Okay. Though I hope the class ain't dying. Okay. All right.
It nourishes.
So there could be some water out of that coming out of that. The Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit. All right. Fertilizer. What's dead?
The flesh.
If we pick up our cross,
then
the fertilizer is what was hanging on the cross that should be buried on top of the seed, because that dead stuff, that unfruitful stuff, that compost, that stinky stuff is what helps your new growth. And I got stinky stuff in my life. I got hang-ups in my life. I got mistakes in my life. I got rocks and stuff in my life or whatever. And when I put my stinky stuff, and you know you stink because you go to the bathroom every day. When I put my stinky stuff on that good seed and get it out of the way, that is the fertilizer that allows God to produce something great in my life. I think I'm about done here.